I have a Shabbat challenge for each of you. Find yourself a rabbinical student and ask them what happens if an onion cut by a dairy knife falls into a big meat stew 2 minutes before Shabbat starts. Then grab yourself a pillow, get comfortable, and enjoy the next 3 hours as they try and explain the answer. The laws of kashrut are complex, deep, and layered, and they begin in this week's parasha. This week we get the list of which animals we can eat, which animals we can't, how we can tell them apart one from another, and it becomes the tip of quite a large iceberg. Really, you can spend a very long time trying to understand the various laws of kashrut, and right now, for those of you who are secretly reading the Jewish Journal and not paying attention to me, you will know that it is quite a prevalent issue currently in the LA Jewish community. We got our own gate title, Doheny Gate. And I read as much as I could about what happened at the long-standing kosher meat establishment, Doheny Kosher Butcher, on Pico Boulevard. And all I can say for sure is I have no idea what happened. The facts are mystifying and confusing and contradictory, and they're only surpassed by the wild rumors that are out there about what happened and who was involved, the motivations. And so if you are sitting today on the edge of your seats hoping I'm going to throw my kippah in the proverbial ring and take a stand, I apologize now. I really am not quite sure what exactly happened. But what I can tell you is this scandal, this situation, does make a magnifying glass, a spotlight, if you will, on us to think about what it means to be kosher. What is it that makes our things kosher, our lives kosher? And the truth is, the industry is not such an outstanding industry. It's tough. But that's not us. What is it that we can do to make our lives more kosher? What can we do to use this difficult moment for us as an LA Jewish community in which the face we're showing the world is not our best face? How can we use it as a challenge to be better, a challenge to grow? Unfortunately, too often, kashrut, keeping kosher, becomes more about whose house you won't eat in, what shop you won't go to, how can you be holier than the person next to you. This week, our parsha, I think, challenges us to ask these questions. Rabbi Samuel Dresner, who was a visionary of the conservative movement based in Chicago, he passed away in the year 2000. He wrote a book about kashrut, and one of the quotes that comes out of that work is, "Observing kashrut demands sacrifice, self-discipline, and determination. But what is really worthwhile in life that does not?" So what can we do to apply the appropriate levels of sacrifice, self-discipline, and determination? I think that the parsha gives us three questions to ask ourselves. Three questions that go beyond the nature of kashrut. And before I begin, there are an unending list of books, articles, websites, magazines, blogs, speeches that tell us the details of how to keep kosher, that help us understand where, how to separate our plates, how, which meat to buy, where to keep the dairy, all of these things. And I hope that you will read them and that they will be good guidelines for you and that they will be inspiring to you to keep the laws of kashrut. But this morning, I want to think about what's underneath that all. You see, kashrut is a chance to make our lives holy. Kashrut is a chance to take a base necessity of life, which is to eat. We all have to eat to survive. But kashrut says, let's do it in a way, even this necessity, let's do it in a way that uncovers a little bit of the divine in this world, that turns our table, our meal, into a sacrificial altar, that takes fulfilling our animal needs and raises it to a level of finding holiness in this world. And I'll begin with creepy crawlies, swarming things. We're never quite sure how to translate in the Bible what they mean, but it means the things that we think of as gross bugs, something like that. And the Bible says, if one of those things falls into your vessel, your pot, your pan, your vase, whatever it is, then you have to smash the vessel. It's become ritually impure. Now, over time, the laws get more complicated, and it depends on what kind of creepy crawly and how long it was in there, whether or not it was alive. None of that is what I'm talking about. Rabbi Isaac Luria, a famous rabbi that lived in Germany, Egypt, and Israel, associated with the Kabbalistic movement, he tells us that this verse is a message. Hidden underneath it is a reminder to look out for what's inside of us. We are the vessel in this verse. How do we live a life that doesn't have creepy crawlies on the inside of us? That doesn't have swarming things swarming on the inside? We all have a natural tendency to bear grudges, to hate, to tell gossip, to do these things that corrupt our insides. But the first question Kashrut is asking us is, what's on the inside? What are we doing to suppress those parts of ourselves we're not proud of? What are we doing to focus on the parts of ourselves that love, that forgive, that share ourselves with each other? Kashrut wants us to ask, what's on the inside? Second, I want to return to Nadav and Avihu, the sons of Aaron who are killed in this week's parasha. Why they're killed is up for enormous and long debate, and if you were in my class on Thursday, we spent a whole hour on it and got basically nowhere. But one thing that is clear, that one piece of the story, is that they weren't careful. We've just had half of the book of Exodus, half of the book of Leviticus, all leading up to telling us how to be priests, how to bring sacrifices. And Nadav and Avihu bring a sacrifice that is not listed. They bring their own sacrifice. They take the rules that God has laid down and treat them as guidelines and bring something different. Nadav and Avihu are demanding us to ask ourselves, are we being careful? Are we being meticulous? And not just are we being meticulous, but are we being meticulous about the things that matter? Nadav and Avihu's job was to bring the people closer to Israel, to people Israel closer to God. And they weren't careful. They didn't follow the rules exactly. They didn't cross their T's and dot their I's. It's not an accident that they're in the same parasha as we learn about Kashrut. Kashrut is a detailed set of laws, a complicated system that requires attention to detail. It's a training ground for the things that really matter, for our family lives, for our relationship to God, for our loved ones. Kashrut demands that we ask ourselves, are we being careful? Are we being meticulous? And third, you can't talk about being kosher without talking about the pig. Chancellor Schorsch, the last chancellor of the Jewish Theological Seminary, wrote that even those Jews who have no semblance of kashrut somehow do something about the pig. At the very least, if they eat bacon, they say, oh, I'm a Jew eating bacon. Somehow, the pig has a status of larger than thou. It's not any more unkosher than any other unkosher animal. But even the Bible itself singles out the pig. It says, watch out for that pig, because it has the split hooves, but it doesn't chew its own cud. And the Midrash takes it further. The pig, the swine, sits up proudly and displays its split hooves for all to see. But we know that it doesn't have, it's still not kosher. It doesn't chew its own cud. It's lying to us. The question that the swine demands we ask of ourselves is, what are we proud of? The pig sits up proudly and is proud of his split hooves, knowing full well that he's leaving out the part that he's not really kosher. Each of us in this room are an amazing person. Each of us has done something to truly be proud of. Certainly our bat mitzvah this morning. Each of us has something to be proud of, but let's make sure we stand up and show off and be proud at things that we are have the right to be proud of. What did we work for? What did we earn? What are we being proud of that doesn't have to hide some other part? The pig demands we ask ourselves, what are we proud of? Now, I come today not to sit in judgment over anyone here. I come today to ask you to sit in judgment over yourself. I come today to give you three questions that Kashrut demands we ask. What is on the inside? Are you being careful? What are you proud of? If we can answer for ourselves these questions honestly, that's how we know we're living a kosher life. That's how we know we're treading down the path Kashrut has in mind for us. This Shabbat, I wish each of us the questions we need to live our own kosher life. Shabbat Shalom.